Hello and welcome to the Low Tox Life podcast. I'm Alex Stewart, your host, and this is show 42. My guest today is a health coach for kids, Cole Clayton, up in Byron Bay, New South Wales, here in Australia. And he's such a cool, down-to-earth guy, and you can absolutely see why kids would gravitate towards him and why he has so much success with kids in his relatability. There's no big words, there's no fancy doctor jargon. He's just a guy with a passion for bringing the best out in kids, and it's beautiful to see some of the testimonials on the Healthy Kids Clinic site, his business, and have a read through what the kids actually felt they gained from working with Cole. You know, a lot of the time, kids services, it's parents giving testimonials, but when the kids give a testimonial, for me that's just so powerful because they're the ones who he seeks to bring the best out in. So we should be hearing from them. Now, Cole has generously offered all listeners today something rather special. We talk about oral myology in today's interview and who might benefit from this therapy. I find it especially amazing when it comes to opening up the sinus drainage passages, removing those big dark bags under our kids' eyes, stopping the mouth breathing. There's a whole bunch of benefits to stopping mouth breathing, as you would have heard in my interview with Dr. Ron Ehrlich a couple of weeks ago. Please listen to that. It's all about sleep, but we talk a lot about mouth breathing in that episode, and there is so much goodness there. But in terms of Cole's work, he actually has a really cool little $19 download, Larry the Lip Seal, which has a whole bunch of exercises to correct things like minor tongue ties, jaw malalignment, and mouth breathing. And for you guys, it'll be free if you book a 15-minute consult to see whether Cole's services might be useful for you and your child. And by the end of this chat, you'll definitely have a bit of a better idea about his work. He's got some fantastic online resources, a course, and in-person and Skype coaching. There's a whole bunch of different options. You know, if you've got a sporty little person and they're trying to manage growing super fast and the nutrients they need for the level of activity that they do, as well as brain function, then Cole's really passionate about helping in that area as well. So there's actually quite a few things that he loves to do for our kids. Being someone who's super passionate about helping our kids thrive as best they can myself, it was wonderful to come across him thanks to a mutual friend, Linda, who introduced us, and I hope you enjoy the chat. Now, don't forget to look for that offer for the free $19 MP3, which teaches your kids a whole bunch of those amazing oral myology exercises. It's absolutely worth it, and all the details are in the show notes for you. I'm going to hook straight into the chat. I hope you enjoy. Hey, Cole, how are you?
I'm terrific. How are you, Alex?
I'm really great, thank you, and super excited to have you on the show today. It's going to be great. A few weeks ago, I had the lovely Dr. Ron Ehrlich, an incredible holistic dentist, on talking about the impact of breathing on sleep and in particular negativity of mouth breathing on sleep. And this is such a huge part of the work you do. And it's all geared towards kids, which you're having incredible results with. And we have so many parents in our audience. I've worked with so many parents through Low Tox Kids, Thrive e-course around food. And I think this is going to be a great piece of the puzzle for some of the harder cases where people are still scratching their heads going, why can't my child concentrate? And why are they sleeping poorly? Or, you know, all those sorts of things. And watching some of the videos on your site, which of course we're going to be sharing all of your details on the website. It was just so heartwarming to see these kids talk about their own stories. And, you know, quite often you see doctors and therapists of all kinds talking on behalf of patients, but to actually see the kids themselves talking about how much of a difference your work has made to them has been a really beautiful thing to see. So that's why I had to have you on the show.
Thank you. That's why I get up in the morning, those kids, when they tell me that stuff, I can't tell you how much it makes my day. It's so good.
Oh, I get goosebumps just thinking about it. So I can only imagine how you're feeling. Look, let's start there. Let's start with, you know, I have so many guests on the show. We've had, you know, up to 40 now so far. And so many of them, when we do our challenge of the week, you know, say, work on your breathing. So it's clearly a huge part of our mental health, our physical health and performance. What was your aha around the importance of breathing correctly and breathing with your mouth closed? Like, what, where did you see the penny drop for you and go, oh my gosh, I absolutely have to and want to focus on this?
Yeah, there's actually a whole, like, it's hard to specifically pinpoint one, but what I can remember is working as a trainer, like a corrective exercise specialist, and helping people with back injury and that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'd write these two, you know, 3 months periodized programs and all the great stretches and awesome exercises I thought would really help these people. And we'd get into session one and they'd lie down and I'd start teaching them how to do the first stretch. And I go, okay, just breathe in. And, you know,
yeah.
I'm just like, oh, no, no, breathe in, use your diaphragm. Or what? Oh, so I'd have this great program and I'd spend the first hour or two, you know, of their sessions actually just teaching them how to breathe. And I thought that was other people's issue. I didn't actually realize that it was actually me who needed to learn the breathing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So by chance, I met another dentist, similar to Ron, to Dr. Ron, actually. And he showed me a whole bunch of things and how, you know, the jaws. I heard Ron was talking about jaw formation and the role of breathing in that and so on. And then I went on a little course and learned a bit more about it. And then I went, hang on a second, me, because I tried so many different things to try and get myself well. I just never quite felt like I got there, you know?
Yes.
I'd done all the diet stuff. I'd done exercise stuff. I'd done corrective exercise. I got my posture as good as I'd done personal growth. I'd, you know, delved into spirituality and what that meant for me, and I still didn't feel good.
Yeah.
And then I was sitting on this course and I went, wow, this is all me. You know, this is how I was in my childhood.
Yeah.
You know, 13, I just couldn't get up. I couldn't get out of bed. I was grumpy in the mornings. You can ask my mum. She hated trying to get me up.
Yeah.
And so I did. I started working on my own breathing, and then all of a sudden I had energy in the morning.
Amazing.
And that's what started this journey. And really, you know, it's still going. I'm still learning, and I really look at breathing as being my teacher. You know, like I learned so much by helping those kids, by working on my own breathing, watching my kids. It's just fascinating the way it keeps unfolding. So I have aha every day.
Yeah, I love that. And I really appreciate that you've just said, I am still learning. You know, so many people out there, you know, will change everything off the back of a blog post that they see on the internet of someone who's still learning themselves. And yet a lot of teachers aren't open to admitting that we're still learning. I'm very much still learning in the work I do every day. And just like you said, it's the people you work with that often end up teaching you or instigating a drill down into an area that you haven't really unfolded yet to help other people as well, or yourself, as you just found out. Yeah, it's really cool that you just openly say, I'm not guru, you know, it's about actually all being open to always tweaking, discovering, learning more stuff on the journey. So that's awesome. Yeah.
100% in health as well, because you're working with people and every person is different. I mean, is an osteopath for 35 plus years, and it's exactly what he says. He says, oh, I'm still learning every day. And you know, he could easily be a guru, inverted commas, but
yeah.
No, he stays humble.
So, yeah. Beautiful. So good. I'd love to know, obviously you decided to become a health coach at some point. What specifically then made you found it as a specialization in kids with the Healthy Kids Clinic? Especially, you know, you discovered breathing was an issue for you as an adult. Is there something that drew you to kids?
Yeah, I mean, I was working with adults and kids. So I started, you know, in working a bit in a dental practice with kids that were going through ortho and stuff as well. And I sort of then, you know, started doing it more for myself with kids and adults. And then I started teaching seminars, just one-day events for adults again, and some kids as well. So, and then I come across this how would you describe him? He's an interesting guy. Actually, he'd be good to interview. He talks a lot about he's an environmental scientist, basically, and a businessman. And he said, you know what, Cole, I'm going to give you an hour's worth of work. And he said, Cole, for your whole session, the whole day, all you did was talk about kids. He said, all you did was talk about how great it is working with the kids and how great the kids get stuff. He said, do you really think that, you know, it's kids in your heart, not, you know, working with adults and snoring and sleep apnea and stuff? Was one of those, again, another aha moment. I was like, boom, totally, you know, because my purpose of working with the kids is, you know, basically to what I want to be able to offer is what I didn't have.
Yeah.
You know, I used to wake up foggy. I used to not be able to think straight. I had no energy, you know, taking a week off school and just lying in bed doing nothing all week to try and get energy. Monday morning came again, boom, I had nothing, you know, and it just makes it so much harder. And it doesn't need to be like that. So if we can help, then we can really help to you know, allow the next generation to come through really solid in themselves. You know, that's my real vision is this generation of kids coming through that really understand, you know, from the inside. So then those external influences that come flying at them, they can really filter that through their system and choose, you know, which ones apply to them or not, rather than just being like boom, 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 bombarded with information and social media and all that, you know. Breathing, to be able to process things emotionally, breathing is actually imperative. And there was a study that came out late last year in December, which showed that actually the mode of breathing completely related to how we entrain or how the limbic system actually functions. So in other words, if you breathe with your mouth or your mouth and nose, the emotional system really doesn't work as well as if you breathe just.
Wow. Isn't that amazing?
It was rad to find that paper. I was like, yes, yes. Scientific evidence does back up what I've seen, you know, by working, coaching with kids for the last 3 or 4 years. I've seen that. It's amazing. And then I, bam, there was a paper in a really amazing journal, an incredible paper that they did, great science. And I was just like, yes.
Oh, awesome. And I'm going to make sure that we put that in the show notes so that people can look at that. And I think there's something super reassuring about data that backs up something you knew in your heart. There's just something that a human spirit goes, I knew it, you know, and I've so experienced it myself with my own health explorations, and I know so many people who have, and it's just so validating. Yeah, really cool. You've got kids yourself, haven't you?
Yep, I've got 3.
And did they provide any inspiration? Like, where were you at with the realization that mouth breathing was an issue for you growing up and could have made such a difference? Did that mean that you, like, were drilling it from the time they were born, that they would be amazing sleepers and breathers?
With my oldest one, I wasn't in this, like, realm of breathing when she was born. So yeah, actually, you know, a bit because of her mode of breathing. But then I managed to, when she was about 8, she came on one of my kids' courses and she learnt. And now, yeah, my kids can spot mouth breathers and thumb suckers and so on.
Wow.
and finger suckers. All Mia's 13, Jared's 6, and River's 3. So the 6 and the 3-year-old, yeah, they're like, dad, you know, they're sucking their thumb. I can see it. But so when Jared was born, I was just starting to get into it. Really, really curious and watching his feeding and doing some other stuff that I'd learned relative to balance and so on. And yeah, like I can really see it with him. His breathing is really, you know, I'll boast here.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
Now, talk to me about your gorgeous oldest daughter. Mm. When you started to work with her, when you'd had the realizations yourself, when you say she suffered, what were you seeing?
Well, she was quite so a lot of snoring, you know, being pretty foggy in the morning herself. And she also has or had issues with her teeth, mm-hmm. you know, having fillings and so forth, like weak enamel in her teeth.
All right.
Which I later found out, perhaps is because, with the mouth breathing, the saliva dries out.
Of course.
The mouth environment becomes, people like Dr. Ron would be able to tell you a lot more about this than me, but the mouth environment comes more, it's more susceptible to decay.
Well, saliva is one of your natural cleansing mechanisms as well. So it moves bad bacteria on and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah. So mouth breathing, drying out saliva.
It's disaster.
Like a lot of kids, this is a great sign for people to look for. If their kids are really churning through the lip balm, dry lips is not a lip balm deficiency.
Wow, that is
drying
such...
those lips out. And most often it's air that's passing through over the lips.
That's such a good aha. I'm going to be talking to my husband about this. He's a lip balm fiend. I have no issue with lip balm. I'm one of those people who has a big wide jaw, has always been able to sleep with my mouth closed, no problems. But, the beauty of being someone who lies next to someone every night is you see what they're doing. And, he's a mouth breather. Gentle.
Snoring?
Yes. Yeah. Mm, interesting. Okay, so with our kids, it manifests like what you notice is the dry lips, the noisy sleep. What do you see behaviorally?
Particularly morning times.
Mm-hmm.
So the kids that wake up, well, I call them quilt monsters.
Yeah.
which, like my mum said, you don't even talk to you when you wake up in the morning because you just like, barely lucky to get a sound. So those kids that wake up, doughy, they wake up slow, they're grumpy to talk to. A big one is kids that take a long time to go to sleep.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Also kids that fidget a lot, so those ones that won't sit still or that have difficulty really focusing,
Yes.
That makes a huge difference as well.
That's really interesting. And then so you worked with her on the breathing without obviously giving away all of your gems because obviously you've got your incredible courses and you go into a huge amount of detail in those, which we've got all the info on in the show notes. But what are some of the simple things that you were able to do with your daughter and what you do ongoing with kids in the clinic to actually get them to breathe better? Is it because there's lip and tongue exercises, aren't there?
Really two modes and I've got two daughters, so both they're quite good examples because one's more breathing related and one's more lip and tongue exercises, which I call face gym, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So we've got the lips in because basically the biggest thing you need to do is get a kid who's breathing through their mouth all the time to seal their lips.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
To keep their lips shut. But you know what? If you just walk around and say to your kids, shut your mouth, I'll tape them together,
Yeah.
Kids just going to go, what? Like, go away. Leave me alone. Stop nagging me, right?
Yeah.
So what we have to do with our kids is actually give them the information. Understand it, okay?
Mm.
Which then what I do is then I link it back to stuff they love. So, if your kid's into ballet, we go, okay, you want to get better at ballet? Yeah, totally. All right. If you improve your breathing, I guarantee you. That's my opening line, basically.
So you go into – that is so clever, isn't it? Because kids are often tough nuts to crack and they're dubious. So they're very analytical and logical, and we forget that about kids. And it's certainly in the work that I've done around fussy eating and food acceptance, appealing to their logic, appealing to their dreams and goals is a really big one. Like, do you want to be able to climb the monkey bars like your big brother? Well, hello, Lubras and broccoli, mate. Get into it. And they really respond to that because you've rationalized with them from a aspirational standpoint. Do you want to get better at that thing that you yearn to be able to do or that you love to do and wish you had more energy to do? So that's genius doing that around the breathing is because that then gets them the buy-in, right, to actually do the exercises.
You got it. It gives them the buy-in to then follow the information.
Yeah.
So what I do is, you mentioned this before about, our physical body, our chemical body and our emotional body, right?
Mm.
I structure the lessons that way. I go, okay, here's the muscles and bones and joints that help you to breathe. here's how breathing well affects the amount of oxygen that gets into your body where it's needed.
Yeah.
Okay. If you're low on oxygen, you're not going to have any, you can't have fun.
Mm.
Yeah. And here's how breathing affects your moods, because it does. And so I take the time to explain to them in language that makes sense to them why all these three things are important. And then I give them one really simple thing to do.
Yeah.
It's not a difficult thing. It takes them about 5 minutes a day, and I don't get them to do it every day either, only 5 days a week. You know, that's basically what Mia learned to do on that course. But she understood it. They can spot mouth breathers. They can spot finger suckers and so on. And with the other little one, for whatever reason, she, as a baby, she sucked her fingers. So her ring finger and middle finger, you know, she'd put in her mouth. Self-soothing thing, right?
Mm.
That's all well and good, because it makes it easier on her mum.
Yeah.
but it's not so good for jaw development. Okay, so her jaw started going what we call retronathic, which sort of squishes the tongue up in the mouth.
Yeah.
If you can sort of picture that.
Mm. And is that what closes the teeth in to be more narrow as well over time?
Yeah, it has an effect on the whole palate and also facial shape structure, you know. So, yes, I started to notice this, and by the time she was about two, I started learning about what I call the face gym, or what's called myofunctional myology.
Yes.
And so I started going, okay, we've got to get her to stop sucking the fingers, because this is going to create us all sorts of problems, which we did using that technique. And then about a year after that, I kind of, embarrassed to say, kind of bribed her into doing the exercise program. So she'd broken.
Hey, however you make it work.
Yeah.
It's all good.
What did she want? A turtle. She wanted her mum to make her a turtle. So that's what she got. By doing that program, it sort of set the muscles up to sort of work in more optimal ways. Just kind of a picture it a bit like posture, right? So if someone's hunched over in the shoulders, we've got to stretch the chest and strengthen up the back, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the muscles of the lips, face and tongue are the same kind of muscle tissue. They've got more nerves, which actually works in our favor, or more nerves to them, and more proprioceptive spindle cells. So they're basically smarter. Yeah, they can sense more information. They can react quicker, because you know one of the most complex things we do is actually what we're doing now, speaking. Right.
Yeah.
So. Of the motor nervous system, so the part of the nervous system that's running our movement runs our mouth, our lips and tongue, you know, and our face. So it takes up a lot of energy. So when you actually train these muscles, it's quick and they stay working functionally, they stay working well, you know, once they've trained. So that's what I did with her. I put her through this whole exercise program, and it's totally changed her face. She looks different.
Wow, isn't that incredible? So thumb sucking, dummies, mouth breathing, are there any other big glaring things that parents need to be mindful of that are going to have effects and mean they're going to need, or that oral myology is actually going to be really useful to them?
Yeah, well, the dummy sucking and the thumb and finger sucking,
mm-hmm.
that's a biggie, yeah?
Yeah?
Because what it does is it trains the tongue to be in the wrong spot. It trains what we call a reverse suck swallow. So the pattern's all back to front.
They use
their face muscles instead of their tongue. Yeah. You can see it. I'll try and describe it in words. If a kid's taking a swallow, instead of basically when a kid swallows, their face should be pretty much still, much movement. But when they've got this reverse swallow thing, you'll see like they use all the muscles around their lips and face to actually sort of pull the food or drink back,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense. A bit like if you make a sour face, you know, you taste something sour sort of face.
I think everybody, I just did it myself, made a sour face.
Yeah, you'll see that. You'll see that every swallow.
Wow.
And the other thing with the dummies is you'll see when they shut their the front, their teeth don't fit together. They've got a gap. You know, Dr. Ron will tell you that that's called an anterior open bite.
Yes.
And that's a big thing with dummy suckers, okay? So, you know, once experts say that dummies are useful as babies for soothing, right?
Yeah.
But certainly as after 12 months, no, you know, that it starts to influence the dentition and the facial growth.
Mm-hmm.
So those two things, the fingers, the dummies, and the mouth breathing, but we've got to be a little bit mindful with the mouth breathing as well.
Yeah.
Because what we're looking for particularly is nasal obstruction, right?
Yeah, okay.
So kids don't generally, like the body generally doesn't start mouth breathing.
Mm-hmm.
It's often like a root cause of it, and it could be some of those suck habits. You know? It can be things like there's a little condition called, is it a condition? Not sure how to describe it, but.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, of so, course. So well, it's sort of a mild physical deformity of some kind. People can be born with it.
A little anomaly, like anatomically or embryologically.
There you go, anatomic anomaly. That's a great way to describe that.
There we go. Yeah. Okay, we got that one.
We got it, yeah.
So that can actually cause issues, you know, if it's not addressed. It also causes issues with feeding, in particular for infants, if they have it. So, yeah, if infants are like the breast or, yeah, just like choking when they're trying to feed, projectile vomiting a lot, that mm-hmm. kind of thing, or they inverted commas fussy eaters, you might mm-hmm. want to get checked for that.
Could it also be babies who take forever to feed?
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
so they're
cool.
On, off, on, off, on, off. Yeah,
yeah, that's so interesting because my son, we've only just discovered since he started going to the dentist, and he sees Ron's nephew, Lewis, who's a legend here in Sydney.
Yeah.
We discovered a really mild tongue tie, not a big one, not certainly one that doesn't affect speech or anything too dramatic, but it is meaning his teeth are very gently narrowing. But I think, you know, retrospect is always a beautiful / annoying thing because I go back to when he was a baby and, God, that kid took forever to feed. And, you know, and no one brought that up, you know, none of my breastfeeding consultants, nobody brought it up. And, you know, I've just become an auntie. My little nephew's 2 days old. And
oh, wow.
If my sister has any feeding issues at all, that is literally the first place I'm going with investigation just to make sure there's no issue there. Because, you know, what an easy fix. If you can catch that in the first week of their life, you change the face of breastfeeding for that mother and child. It means they're getting their nutrition. And it means all the other things that you're talking about fall into place, which is just huge. And yet nobody's talking about it in a wider sense.
Yeah, well, it's controversial.
Mm. Why do you think it's controversial?
Why do I?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. It's kind of a bit outside my field now.
Yeah, okay.
It is because of, you know, if it's functional, you know, if you can talk and all that, do you still need to do it? It depends. Really depends who you talk to about it.
Yeah.
And you have to get a few different opinions, I reckon.
Mm, yeah. Fair enough. ADHD is one of the things you mention on your website, or, you know, inability to concentrate, sort of almost like the kid is just lacking that ability to focus. Is this something that you see probably with the older kids and mouth breathing and dramatic sort of changes in them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, We'll just say ability.
Yeah.
Whether that's diagnosis or not as ADHD, I'm not sure. But ability to concentrate is what I notice for a lot of kids when we do the retraining is that their parents or their teachers just go, wow, like, I can't believe like how much better he can focus on his schoolwork. You know, even that say the mum will say the teacher didn't even know he's doing this, and she asked me, "What are you doing?" You know, basically, without going into detail, biochemistry and stuff, when we mouth breathe, tends to in the immediate sense lower our carbon dioxide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not hugely, not dramatically, but just a little bit, and that lower. It's measured in mils of pressure of mercury, like blood pressure is.
Mm-hmm.
So if you drop that by, say, I think it's from memory, this study said it was by 2 mils, okay, so from 35 to 33, oxygenation to your brain drops by as much as 30%.
Wow.
Yeah, so have a think about that. If I just dropped your brain oxygenation by 30%, I bet yeah, your questions wouldn't be as good. And so if you're sitting in or, you know, breathing through your mouth and your brain's not getting as oxygenated as what we want, because it's actually what it's about is about oxygenation at the cellular level, so yeah. Oxygen uptake at the cell. If you're under oxygenated and you're sitting, kids are under oxygenated at night, by the way, so they go to school already a bit under oxygenated, they move around, it starts to make them feel better. But they're sitting there in class and their body wants to keep moving, actually. It wants to keep fidgeting to keep their metabolism going to produce a little more CO2.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting there fidgeting away and they're supposed to be concentrating.
Yeah, totally.
You know? And they're supposed to then know what the answer is, you know.
Mm.
And the teacher asks them a question and it's like, what was the question? You know, you're never concentrating, you know. And then, that, you know, it's horrible because maybe that kid could become labelled then, you know.
Yeah, it can really set them off on a path that they just don't need to be on.
Exactly, like come back to me again. Well, Cole's good, he's got potential, but he's just lazy, you know. Nah.
Wow.
I can't tell you I'm not lazy. People who know me will tell you I do a lot of stuff. It's just that I didn't have the energy. Fall asleep in class.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And you know, I bet there are some parents listening to this right now thinking, whoa, okay, that's my child, you know, that's exactly what you've just described. So I'm pretty excited that this information is getting out there as something to explore for people. Can you talk us through your programs? How do they work? Are they online and do you coach them, or is it something people download and work at their own pace whenever they want to and can? How does it work?
Yeah. At the moment, there's with the breathing programs, I'm doing them and I do them mostly on Skype, so mostly remotely, because I don't, for most of it, I don't need to be with the kid, with the family, with mum or dad or both and the kid, and I take them through those lessons that I described earlier.
Mm-hmm.
That only really works for kids about 7 to 14, 14, 15, 16. For younger kids, I've tried it a few times. It never comes off. I've tried it with 5-year-olds, 4-year-olds. It just doesn't work because they're not ready to conceptualize this stuff. So what I've got for them, which is more like it's a little kind of metaphor that I developed with a children's story writer. It's an audio. So what you do is you play them this story. It's a 15-minute story. And that just goes in. There's a subtle metaphorical message in there for kids.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we've got for breathing 3 to 6. I'm actually working on, it's in production, a course like what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Which is exactly the same structure, exactly the same format. It's just that it'll be, you know, online delivery as opposed to me coaching the kids. And then Phase Gym, that really has to work one-to-one because I've exercises and customized the exercises for them. But you can do that in person if you happen to be on the North Coast, or again, we can do it on Skype or FaceTime, works just as well.
Yeah, that's great. And, you know, just talking to you, like you can just tell you're the kind of coach that kids would respond to. You're so down to earth. You know, there's nothing formal about you. Like, you know, and I mean that in the coolest way. You know, when you're working with kids,
I've got in trouble so many times for not being formal.
No, but you've got to get on a kid's level. That's probably why you're so successful, Cole, because people just, you know, little people just relate to you straight away. You're not a scary doctor person. And, you know, a lot of kids don't respond to that kind of clinical environment. So I'd imagine that's one of the reasons you're so successful. So don't diss yourself for being informal.
Like it. It's yeah, good. Brand. Good. I just, it's cool that you said it that way. I really appreciate it. I'm just a big kid myself, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly. And you can hear it. So that's, of course, why you want to help kids, because of what you've been through yourself. So we've got a little something special happening for the listeners today, haven't we? Can you tell us a little bit about what we can do?
Yeah, so that little story I was telling you about. So what I do for everybody, if they're interested in this, is I give them a minute phone or Skype consult,
mm-hmm.
But for your listeners, if they want to book in that, when they book, you just book that in online off the website.
Yep. And don't panic, guys. We're going to put all the details in the show notes so you can head there after. Yep.
And if you, so time online. And then when you go to book in, when you finally come to book in, there's a comment section. If you just write Alex, A-L-E-X-X in there, I'll give you that MP3 for free.
Wow. Awesome. Yep. Amazing.
Yeah, so even if you've got older kids, like it just, I said it's 3 to 6, but even for older kids, you know, it's just really nice. You can put it on in the car, or particularly like a lot of kids I know that have it, listen to it before they go to sleep. So they're just getting that conscious, subtle message, seal your lips, breathe in slow.
Yeah. Yep, love it. Mm. Oh, that's just going to be so useful. I'm excited to share that with everybody. So I guess to finish, I would love to ask you, if you had to pick one thing that you wanted every parent listening to this right now out there to go and do for with their child, watch their child, one thing that would help them see whether this was something that they would be needing to explore. I know there's so many things that we've talked about, but like sometimes people just need to go, okay, I'm just going to focus on that one aspect. Or even one exercise people could do with their children to improve their breathing, especially their nighttime breathing, because that has such a huge impact, that restful sleep. What would it be?
Okay, so we answer that one, the what could they do as parents? That's what you're asking, yeah? So you want a tip for the parents?
Yeah, yep. Totally.
Awesome, because I've got a great one for you.
Yay!
You know the principle of entrainment?
No.
Have you ever come across that?
No, I really haven't.
Yeah, cool. So if you have a room full of metronomes, you know, tick, 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 yeah, you know, the pace in music, if you set them all on different frequencies, like tick, 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 they're all going differently, okay?
Yeah.
Eventually what will happen is they'll all entrain. You can Google, you can YouTube search that. There's a great little video of it, okay?
Yeah.
All of them will all end up in sync. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's it. That's entrainment. So.
Gotcha.
As parents, what are we always doing? Re our kids. You know, we go, oh, he could have that. Oh, he could have that. They could. She could have that. We have a little fuss and a little panic about it, don't we?
Yeah. Totally. Oh, and yeah. People go down all sorts of crazy rabbit warrens to.
Yeah. And yeah. Where do you get a bit anxious about your kids? What happens to your breathing? Faster or slower?
Faster.
Okay, yeah. So the best thing a parent can do, okay, if they want to change their child's breathing, is have a look at their own breathing.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And go,
okay.
Am I nasal breathing, or am I breathing with my shoulders? Am I mouth? Am I breathing fast? You know, is my breathing calm? Okay.
Yeah.
So there's a great, great scientist called Dr. Stephen Porges, who I really admire his work. Yeah. I watched an interview with him once, and he was kind of a question, and they said, what's the tipping point? Like, if you could change 2 billion people on this planet to change the planet, what would you tell them? And he said, breathe out slowly. And I was like, yes.
Fist pump. Yeah.
but that's the point. Okay. So if you slowly through your nose, so if you're getting agitated or you're getting anxious about your kids, or you want them to change, you know, their breathing, or you want to start that process, you've got to be mindful of your breathing while you're around them and while you have those thoughts. It's direct transference with our kids.
Mm.
So what you do is you close your lips, and the whole trick is the out-breath, okay? So we want the out-breath to be slow.
Okay.
The in-breath can be normal, but we want the out-breath to be slow. At least the count of 8. Just in your head. Doesn't have to be precisely 8 seconds, because then that's not calm.
Yeah, exactly.
But just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That's your out breath through your nose normally, and then breathing out slowly. Yeah.
Yeah.
You need to do that at least 3 to 5 times. Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you work on that, you'll be surprised what happens with your kids.
Wow. Just by you doing it without them even knowing you're doing it.
Exactly. We have to do it first, right, Alex?
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
And then you can get the kids to join in. Okay, like, okay, I'm playing a game here. Let's try this together. You know, especially if we're, you know that sort of tipping point with kids where you know they're about to get real stroppy and have a tantrum, but there's just a little window where you can distract them.
Yes.
If you can get in and do that little exercise with them, or even before they go to sleep, if you can get exercise, what you do is something called increase the tone of the vagus nerve.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure you probably know about the vagus nerve. And what that does is that it allows the parasympathetic nervous system to do its full function. So stress, actually, the parasympathetics, the rest and digest, they get inhibited by the vagus. When you breathe out slowly like that, it allows that parasympathetic to fully, you know, be expressed, and everything slows down and we prepare to rest.
I love it. That's
the whole system. Yeah.
So good. Yeah. It's like diffusing a tantrum bomb.
Exactly. Yeah.
Beautiful. Great tip to leave everybody with. Cole, thank you so much for being on the show. Thehappykidsclinic.com. Please get amongst it. We've got so much information on the show notes today, including that incredibly generous offer that Cole mentioned before, to get your kids breathing well and to identify any little issues around tongue ties and all the other little things that just have the hugest impact on the ability for a child to really, really thrive. For me, it's one of the newest things I've discovered and one of the biggest pieces of the puzzle. So I really appreciate you joining us today to spend some time and talk about it.
Oh, I really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. You have a beautiful afternoon and I'll speak soon. Thank you so much for joining me for today's show. Check out the show notes at lowtoxlife.com/podcast. And if you wanted to maybe share a quote and something that really jumped out for you, you can find us on Instagram at lowtoxlife or simply hashtag lowtoxlife across social media. I absolutely love bringing you the show. Thank you for any of the star ratings or one-line reviews that you guys have left. It helps me know what you've been loving and what you'd love to see more of. I'll see you next week.
Who is that? Hi, Puck.